Chen speaking.
Hi, this is Young. From Beijing.
Young, of course. It's been ages. Can I call you back? I'm just in the middle of cooking.
I'm calling about Ling.
What's happened? Is she okay?
She got married.
What?
To another High Carder's child. A successful businessman and party official. But Ling doesn't really care for all that. You should have tried harder, Chen. You can't expect a woman to wait forever.
I understand.
It's not too late. She still cares for you a lot. Come to Beijing. It's been too long, Chen.
I'm sorry, I have to... Goodbye, Yong. Party Secretary Li. Sorry, I was cooking. Can I get you
something?
Nothing,
thank you.
I'm sorry to intrude on you at home, Chief Inspector Chen. This is party business, but not bureau business. Detective Yu can take over the special case squad for the time being.
It sounds important.
As important as it gets. Your dinner will have to wait.
Of course. Please, go on, Party Secretary.
The new Minister of Public Security needs you to investigate a highly sensitive matter. Do you know anything about Shang Yun-Guan, a movie queen from the 1950s?
Shang Yun-Guan? I watched a couple of her films a long time ago. She committed suicide at the start of the Cultural Revolution, I think.
She danced with Chairman Mao at several parties. We believe she could have taken or been given something from him.
Something from Mao? Like what?
We don't know. But we believe that she left something to her daughter, Qian, who died at the end of the revolution, passing it down to her daughter, Jiao. We need you to approach Jiao and find whatever it is.
How do we know this thing even exists? And why now, after all this time?
Jiao has quit her job, moved into a luxury apartment. Now she's going to parties with people from Hong Kong, Taiwan, the West. The host is a certain Mr. Xie, who bears a grudge against Mao. The minister believes Xie and Jiao are trying to sell the Mao material. It is a serious threat to the party.
Because of the damage it could do to Mao's image, what can this material possibly be?
That is the question, Inspector Chen. Internal security is already investigating.
So, why do you need me?
If we push too hard, Jiao might act rashly. We need you to approach from a different angle. Soft rather than rough. Whatever will get you to the material.
Approach her as anything but a cop, you mean?
The minister trusts you. And my retirement is coming up soon. If you do this, it'll be good for you.
And if I don't?
You must not let the minister down. Find the Mao material, Chief Inspector Chen. Find it fast.
Inspector Chen, The Mao Case by Chu Xiaolong, dramatized by Joy Wilkinson.
I wake up with a fragmented image. Ling serving tea in a Beijing quadrangle house. Her fingers breaking and strewing petals into my teacup. She isn't to blame for her marriage. She can't help being the daughter of a Politburo member any more than I can help being a cop. The file on Shang arrives, displaces thoughts of Ling with the image of a young, graceful actress, successful, until the kind of upper-class lady she played disappeared from the screens in socialist China. Later she returned with Mao's encouragement, playing workers or farmers, winning awards, until the Cultural Revolution cut her career short. She was interrogated by a special team in Beijing and committed suicide, leaving her daughter Qian alone. Shang's problems cast a shadow over her daughter's life. Qian fell in love with a young man named Tan. They made a desperate attempt to escape to Hong Kong, but were caught and marched back to Shanghai. Tan killed himself. Qian survived to give birth to their daughter Jiao, but soon fell for another man who was thrown in prison for sexual perversity. Not long afterward, Qian died too in an accident. A bestseller was written about her this year called Cloud and Rain in Shanghai. Cloud and Rain, a poetic term for sex. The book is a romantic glossing over of the tragedy that spanned two generations, or three. Young Jiao grew up in an orphanage, had no friends, no fun, struggled and struggled until recently when she suddenly quit her job as a receptionist, bought a new apartment and began a new life, visiting the mansion of a Mr. Shear for painting classes and parties, and perhaps to find a buyer for the Mao material? I make a plan to go to Shear's mansion and work with internal security to get closer to Zhao. And a second strand, an investigation behind the investigation, working alone to discover what this file cannot tell me. What was the true relationship between Shang and Mao? Did she really commit suicide? Or was she murdered?
I'm Lieutenant Song Qicheng of Internal Security. I'll be your point of contact on the Mao case.
Good to meet you, Lieutenant Song.
Let's walk. I have bad news. Xie's ex-wife has returned from the States. She visited the mansion yesterday with a foreigner, presumably to arrange the sale of the Mao material. We have to conclude the case before she goes back in 2 weeks' time.
I only have 2 weeks to investigate.
Less than 2 weeks. If your approach doesn't work, we'll need time to wrap it up our way.
When is Xie's next party?
This afternoon. This is a letter from one of our business contacts, Shen, introducing you as a businessman and writer working on a literary project about Shanghai in the 30s. Xie's parties tend to be themed in the 1930s Hollywood style. It should be sufficient cover to get you started.
Let's hope so.
I'm sure you'll get results. With your English and your poetry, you'll be like a fish swimming in the water.
Whereas you must be like a dragon stranded in a shallow pool.
Keep me informed of your progress. It's good to be working with you, Chief Inspector Chen.
It would be better to be working with Detective Yu, but a case concerning Mao could have serious consequences for the cops involved. Perhaps there are others who could help. I call Gu, my loyal business contact with connections on both the white and black sides of this city. I also call Yu's father, Old Hunter, a retired cop. He remembers the Cultural Revolution and might be inclined to help. I arranged to meet him for a pot of tea tomorrow. Right now, I have to go to Xie's mansion for the party.
I didn't know you had arrived, Mr. Chen. So sorry about that.
It's my fault, Mr. Xie. It seems I'm early.
I'm holding a class inside. Come on through. My friend, Mr. Xu, speaks highly of you.
I know how busy you are, but it would greatly benefit my research to come to your parties.
Come any time you like. If you're interested in painting, you can sit in on the class. Here we are. There's too much light there, Zhao.
Oh, dear. You're right, of course. Thank you, Mr. Shear.
It's her, Shang's granddaughter, Zhao. Tall and willowy. She pats Shear's shoulder with a familiarity not usually shown to a teacher. He smiles.
Girls are really made of water.
The girls from the class stay behind for the party. A scene from old Hollywood filled with beautiful girls and nostalgic businessmen.
Some of the men in real estate are playing Monopoly over here, Mr. Chen. A Western game.
Fascinating.
Go to jail. Move directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I'll buy my way out.
You'll have to wait until your next turn.
Sorry, are you playing, Mr...
Chen? No, I'm just watching Mr...
Hua Feng, East Wind Property Company.
Monopoly is not like real-life real estate, Mr. Hua. I'm afraid you have to follow the rules.
Thank you for your help, Mr. Chen. Your turn, Jian.
The guests indulge in a world of slow dancing and anecdotes of old glories, clinging on to the illusion of some meaning in their lives.
Hi, you're new here?
Yes, it's my first time. My name's Chen.
I'm Xiao. You're a novelist, I heard.
I've only just started writing. I was a businessman, but I began to ask myself, people can live on money, but can they live in money?
People make money, but money makes people too.
An excellent point, Xiao. I forgot to ask what you do. Everyone here seems so intent on bringing up their family background.
I'm glad you forgot. You want to write about the past, not live in it. Let's go dance.
I hardly know how.
Neither did I until I came here, but I soon learned. Come on.
Zhao guides me effortlessly, wisps of her hair brushing my face, light burnishing her cheek with a painter's brush. I think of Mao and Shang dancing in this city a long time ago.
Oh, you're not bad at all.
A perfect couple.
She's leading me well.
Too well. The night goes on. One dance after another. One cup after another.
Sharing a taxi with Yang. She wants us to go to another party. Do you have a car coming, Mr. Chen?
I'm going to walk to the subway. Enjoy the air.
You truly are a writer. Not a businessman at all.
Good night, Zhao.
Good night.
It's hard to judge from one meeting, but Zhao doesn't seem to be a kept girl. A big buck would have arranged for her to be picked up. And she's clever, vivacious, not like some little concubine. As for Xie, he seems to be playing a role, like me. I see one of the agents from internal security undercover. He'll be reporting back to Lieutenant Song about my dance with Zhao. I need something more to report back on, fast. When I get home, there's a package from Ling, postmarked from London. Her honeymoon trip. It's a transcript of The Wasteland by T.S. Eliot. This is my consolation prize. A footnote on a closed chapter. Now that I'm in the midst of the Mao case, it's a distraction. I put it away.
My son tells me you're on vacation for personal reasons, Chief. Is it your lady in Beijing?
Look at the phrase on this card. A long eternal life. That used to be a chant for the emperors. The first English sentence I learned was, a long eternal life to Chairman Mao. I used to think Mao must have known the phrase was used for emperors. Why did he not object to it?
Mao was a modern emperor. In ancient times, an emperor was compared to the sun. Mao simply was the sun. Would I be right in thinking you were not on vacation at all?
You know a lot about those years. About Mao. Anything you can tell me?
Well, I could tell you about my Mao case.
I didn't know you had one.
I've never told anyone. But if it would help you...
We can trust each other, old hunter. Please, go on.
It was my first political case. Gave such a boost to my ego when I first got it. The suspect was a teacher, Mr. Tung, accused of slandering Mao in his class. He'd been in isolation interrogation for 10 days.
Did he commit the crime?
He insisted his interpretation of the poem by Mao was based on in-depth research.
Which poem are you talking about?
Mao's poem to his wife, Yang Kaihui.
Mao describes her loyal soul flying up to the moon. He missed his first wife very much.
His second wife. Mao had a first wife back home who he didn't acknowledge, so of course their marriage was never in official publications.
Old hunter, you are a Mao authority. I'm sorry that it's only tea, but here's to your expertise.
Mr. Tung, the teacher, said he was trying to show the sacrifices Mao made. His wives and children all lost for the sake of revolution.
There's no crime in him saying that.
That's what I thought. So I looked at his research and I saw what the problem was. By being so conscientious, using different sources, his background on the poem showed a problem with the dates he gave his students. It showed that Kaihui was still alive when Mao married Zhu Jun.
Are you saying that Mao committed bigamy?
That's what Tung was accused of saying. I tried to convince Tung to cut his losses, say it was a typo, but he wouldn't listen. He was so dedicated to accurate scholarship. He committed suicide, leaving a note written in blood. A long eternal life to Chairman Mao. 3 months later, Mao passed away.
Oh, what a case.
During the Cultural Revolution, millions of people died like ants, like weeds. But to this day, I still wonder, could I have done something more to help Tong?
Was it true about the bigamy? I've never heard anyone speak of it.
Who would dare to, even now?
We can talk better in a private room. Waitress.
In 1927, Mao left his wife, Kaihui, and his children to be a guerrilla fighter. Less than a year later, Mao married Zhu Jun, another fighter, 17 years old. An act of undeniable bigamy.
Perhaps Mao believed Kaihui had died.
Kaihui asked to join him, but he always said no. And then in 1930, Kaihui was executed. I'm not saying Mao had her killed on purpose, but he was in some way responsible for her death.
He must have written that poem to her out of guilt.
The case has been a rock on my heart.
I understand.
You have a case concerning Mao?
And one of his women. And now I'm thinking, if he did that to Kai Hui...
And Zhu Jun, he put her in a Moscow mental hospital, leaving him free to wallow in his lust for Madame Mao.
If that's how he treated his wives, Shang had no chance.
You mean Shang Yung-wan, the film star?
I tell old Hunter what little I know about my own Mao case, how little time I have to solve it. He's eager to help, however he can.
As an advisor to the traffic control office, I can patrol the area where Xia lives.
I also need you to check out a couple of people. Tan, Qian's first lover who died, and Peng, her second lover, who is still alive. The only problem is you can't go as a cop, active or retired. Internal security is involved.
So the last battle may be the best. Thank you, Chief. Now I finally have a chance to redeem myself.
We set to work, separately. As old Hunter patrols the streets and digs into the history of Shang's lovers, I read the novel Cloud and Rain in Shanghai and the poetry of Mao about his wives and lovers. Romantic imagery abounds, but nothing I can grasp. The words dance past like the girls at Xie's parties. Beautiful, ephemeral. Keeping their secrets.
Why can't people be themselves?
What do you mean, Zhao?
Yang wants to go to that new restaurant, Madame Chang's. I heard the food isn't that great, but still, people want to go there. Imagine themselves as President Chiang Kai-shek for an hour or so. Illusions cannot be too expensive.
In Buddhist scripture, everything is appearance, including oneself.
But what does it mean? That brass foot warmer by the fireplace over there... Nanny Zhong used it as a trash bin in the old neighbourhood. But here it becomes an antique, symbolic of the old Shanghai.
Nanny Zhong? Is she your connection to Mr. Xie?
No, not really. Sorry, I have to go. Yang's leaving. Such a butterfly.
I make a note to add Nanny Zhong to old Hunter's list. When he's finished investigating Tan and Peng...
Mr. Peng.
What can I do for you?
I'm a journalist with a couple of questions about your experience in the Cultural Revolution. The pork porters at the market told me I might find you here.
They sacked me yesterday. Where else can I go?
May I buy you a beer, Mr. Peng?
I was only 15 when I met Qian. She didn't care for me, only for my pathetic resemblance to her dead lover. We were caught in the act. I was thrown in prison. My best years all gone. I'm a wreck now. No skills, no future. And now there's that book, Cloud and Rain. I'm made out to be a scoundrel.
The porter said they saw you here with Jiao yesterday, following her, pestering her for money.
She's my stepdaughter. She should share what she's got.
What has she got? Something Qian left behind?
A treasure trove. Qian's mother was a movie queen. How many powerful men had Shang slept with?
But the Red Guards ransacked Shang's home when she died. Didn't they take all the valuables?
Shang could have hidden her riches away. Zhao must have inherited the lot. How else did she pay for that apartment?
She was as poor as you until recently. If Shang left something, Zhao would have sold it much sooner.
Not necessarily.
Tell me what you know. I have 100 yuan.
How about 500?
250. And all you can eat and drink.
Shang danced with Mao. All the treasures of the Forbidden City were at his disposal. Until recently, there was no way to find a good buyer for that stuff. But now, I reckon Zhao's been selling the antiques bit by bit. No one could afford the whole set. I followed her to the Joy Gate.
The dance hall? Did you see her sell something?
No, but she was dancing with a tall man. Afterwards, at her apartment, I saw her through the window, leaning against him in a most intimate manner. Then the light went out. That's why I went to see her when I got fired, to tell her what I'd seen. All the blood went out of her face. She also gave me 250 yuan and said she'd call the police if ever I went near her again.
Are you saying she got the money from the man as a lover or as a buyer?
Perhaps both. Who cares? She wouldn't have paid me off for nothing.
You blackmailed her. If she told the police, you could be in big trouble.
I'm a dead pig. What difference would it make throwing me into a cauldron of boiling water?
The parties and reading take up time that I can't spare. I need more help, so I go to see Lung Wenjiang, a scholar and expert in Mao's poetry. He is a member of the Writers' Association, but fell out of favour as people lost interest in Mao's work. I take him a basket of fresh river crabs and feign a professional interest in the poem On the Photograph of a Militia Woman.
Valiant and handsome, she shoulders a 5-foot rifle. In the parade ground, first lit by the sunlight, a Chinese girl with an extraordinary aspiration. She loves her military attire, not the extravagant fashion.
I heard Mao wrote the poem to please that militia woman. What do you know of her identity?
Nothing but hearsay.
These crabs are magnificent.
Lung, I wanted to warn you, as an executive member of the Writers' Association, that some members are at risk of losing their professional status.
What have you heard?
That it will come to a vote in the special committee, case by case.
And you are on the committee?
I could say something on your behalf to ensure you do not lose your status.
I appreciate your support and admire your passion for Mao's work. The identity of the militia woman. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of a movie star named Shang?
What about her?
She played a militia woman in a movie. I believe Mao copied out poems for Shang. A colleague of hers once told me he visited Shang's place before the revolution and saw a scroll in Mao's calligraphy.
Shang had a scroll from Mao. What did it say?
Nothing sensational. It was hanging in a bedroom. Ode to the plum blossom. After wind and rain seeing off the spring, flying snow comes as harbinger of the spring. On the ice-covered cliff, the plum blossom still shines. It symbolises an unyielding spirit.
Thank you, Lung. Enjoy the rest of the crabs.
Look at them. The broken legs, shells, golden ovaries. It looks like a battlefield.
If Peng only saw the tall man at Jiao's apartment once, and internal security haven't seen him at all, he can't be a secret lover. More likely, he was a one-time buyer who negotiated with Jiao at Joy Gate. He'd have to go to her apartment to close the deal, pick up the goods.
As far as the intimate scene goes, Peng may be an unreliable narrator.
It makes sense of Jiao's money. Those antiques would be worth millions, and she could be finding buyers through the parties at Xia's place.
All of that's true, and yet...
It's too straightforward for you, Chief.
Mao didn't have to smuggle out artifacts. And Beijing wouldn't be launching this investigation over some antiques. There must be more to it. If only we knew what we were looking for. Keep looking into Tan and Nanijong. My friend Gu is tracking down an old contact from the special team in Beijing. They may know something about the raid on Shang's... Excuse me. Chen speaking.
Lieutenant Song, a girl's body has been found at Xie's mansion. She was murdered.
The girl is in the garden, in a yellow summer dress. The straps fallen off her shoulders, skirt pulled up high, one sandal missing. It looks like some kind of sexual attack. Her name was Yang Ning, Jiao's friend from the painting class.
Time of death is estimated to be between 10 p.m. and midnight last night.
There was no class last night, no party either.
She couldn't have flown in here like a butterfly. Chia was the only one home. He claims he knows nothing. Reckons he found her this morning on his walk.
Did Chia have any visitors yesterday?
He said he fell asleep early. We're going to take him into custody.
A body in his garden and no alibi? No one would be so stupid. What would his motive be?
I don't care right now. Who can tell what goes on in the old man's mind?
You focus on him as a suspect and the real killer could walk away.
Your soft approach has got us nowhere.
It's only been a week.
We have been patient. And now a young life is wasted. In one more week, whatever that material is, it will vanish off to the United States and there will be nothing we can do to stop the scandal. I am taking Xie into custody. What are you going to do, Chief Inspector Chen?
Zhao stands at the French window, squinting in the sunlight. She has seen me talking to Song. She says she called by here to see Xie. I say the same. I know at least one of us is lying. Zhao is shocked about Yang, but more upset about Xie.
Xie is a murder suspect.
I'm not a cop. It's not for me to say.
But you know the policeman. He talked to you.
He asked me questions.
Xie couldn't have done anything like that.
Does he have any enemies? People who hate him?
I don't know. He's mentioned distant relatives who lay claim to this mansion, who want to sell it and make their fortunes. If he got in trouble, it might be their chance.
Cops think only of evidence and alibis, and Xie had no alibi for last night.
Yes, he had, but he's too much of a gentleman to say. Xie was here with me last night. I was posing for him, nude.
What?
He can't afford professional models. He won't say because he's concerned for my reputation. Xie!
Zhao!
You should have told the cop that I was posing for you last night.
What's going on?
You'll have to hold off on your plans to arrest Xie.
What?
It's a surprise move by Zhao, but one that serves my purpose. Song interviews Zhao and leaves, infuriated. I feel his frustration. Our methods haven't solved this, but I have to keep trying softly. I see Zhao again before I go, standing by the window, in the morning light, like the plum blossom in the poem. Mao could easily have been fascinated by someone like her.
I'm afraid there won't be any more classes or parties for the time being, Mr. Chen.
I'm concerned about Mr. Xie. I know an attorney.
You are very kind, but Song seems to have backed off.
If there's anything I can do to help either of you, please do let me know.
Actually, there is something, Mr. Chen.
Anything? What is it?
This has scared me so much. I need someone I can trust. My maid quit abruptly, so now there's no one at home during the day. I want someone, but the agencies aren't dependable. It can take weeks.
You want me to move in?
Oh, I want a new maid. You must have one. She might know someone.
My maid will know some good people. I trust her.
I trust you, Mr. Chen. Here's my number.
Thank you. I'll talk to her today about it.
I wish I could prove to be truly trustworthy, but it's an opportunity too good to miss to get a pair of eyes into Zhao's home. Internal security has already conducted a secret search of her apartment and found nothing. But a maid sees people coming and going. I call to put old Hunter on the case, finding a maid we can trust. And I take a shortcut to the subway, a quiet path where I can think about Zhao and Xie. The extraordinary concern she shows for him. Much more than is usual for a student and teacher.
Hey, you busybody bastard!
A gangster, an iron bar, a blue dragon tattoo. I try to recall triad jargon as I dodge blows.
You must have taken me for another, brother.
Fight back.
The flood is surging into the Dragon King Temple.
Who are you, brothers? An ugly toad let its mouth water at a beautiful swan.
I stagger back, manage to pivot, and run. The gangster at my heels, no cops or internal security in sight as I sprint back to the main road. The doors of Xie's mansion are closed. I flag down a taxi.
Drive! Anywhere!
My head bleeds, spins. I try to get it clear. It was an ambush. They must have been following me. Toad and Swan? Is it a jealous lover warning me of an impossible relationship? Surely not with Ling. Oh, I can't think. The taxi takes me to the doctor. He is worried about the blow to my head. Insists that I take a week off work. I want to laugh. He reminds me of my recent breakdown. I get a taxi back home. On the way, I get a call from Gu.
I've spoken to my contact from the special team in Beijing. He remembered they came to get something Shang might have had. Well, they run successful. She committed suicide.
After the search, or while they were still there?
He wouldn't tell me anymore, but he gave me the name of someone you could talk to in person, if you can go to Beijing. Well, I know you don't have much time.
No, I could go to Beijing. The doctor has urged me to take some time off.
The doctor? What's happened?
I tell Gu, he is furious. so as to find out which organization arranged the attack. I ask him to look into the mansion, too, see if any of his real estate contacts have designs on the property.
I will dig 3 feet into the ground to find it all out.
And I will go to Beijing to see Gu's contact, to stay out of harm's way for a day or two. And maybe to see Ling, congratulate her on her marriage. It has been too long. As I leave for Shanghai Station, I get one more call.
I've found someone very reliable to serve as Zhao's maid.
Fast work, old hunter. Let me give you Zhao's number and she can make all the arrangements. I have to catch a train.
You're going away.
I'll explain later, but for now it's best that you don't know my whereabouts.
I understand. Take care, Chief.
Yong meets me at Beijing Station in a limo with news. It seems I can't congratulate Ling on her marriage.
It's over. He had a little secretary. Ling found out when they returned from honeymoon.
Is she all right? Where is she?
Busy with work, but she'll call your hotel tomorrow. Where can I take you now? Out for dinner?
I'm afraid I have work to do too, Yong. Please drop me at Mao's old home in the Central South Sea District.
Since when were you a Maoist?
It's for something I'm writing, a literary project.
Well, the home is closed. You won't get in.
I have to.
Urgent literary project, is it? Ling has connections. Let me see if we can arrange to get you in there.
I walk through the house where Mao lived for his last 10 years by himself, except for his secretaries, nurses and orderly. I imagine him here lying on that wooden board mattress. I wonder if he ever thought of Shang again.
You must be Chen.
Gu's contact, Comrade B from the Beijing special team that raided Shang's apartment all those years ago. Now he works here, preserving the history, the facade. But willing to tell me what truth he could, in strictest confidence.
People thought it was Madame Mao who sent us, that she was jealous of Shang. But this time, it wasn't her.
Who was it?
A leading comrade. That's all we were told. We were briefed to ask about Shang's evil plan to harm Mao.
What was the evil plan?
We couldn't get it out of her.
And when you couldn't, she committed suicide?
I couldn't say. I was busy searching the place. I heard the sound as she fell 5 floors onto the curb. I looked down. Passers-by pointed at her body. No one helped. She was so black, they wouldn't go near.
You couldn't say if she killed herself. Do you know if her daughter Qian's death was really an accident?
No, I couldn't say.
What were you searching for in the apartment?
They were vague. Someone said maybe a scroll, a poem Mao wrote for her.
It can't be the scroll. That poem is hardly obscene. What did you find?
Nothing much. Clothes, magazines, photos. She loved photography. Had her own darkroom.
That's unusual.
Madame Mao loved photography too. He had a type.
What were Shang's photos of? Of Mao?
No, mostly of Xian. We took them all. Destroyed them. The women were a curse. Madame Mao, all of them. But Chairman Mao, whatever you might make of him now, he led us out of the woods.
I take a taxi back through the Forbidden City. On the way, I stop off to pay a visit to the Hall of Last Respects, where Mao's body lies in a crystal coffin, shrunken, shriveled out of proportion. I only get to look for a few seconds. The tourists push me on and back outside to the peddlers, hawking gifts bearing the name of Mao. There's a watch that has Mao's hand as the pendulum, waving majestically, endlessly, like time itself.
I had to call, Chief.
Did you get the maid for Zhao?
Yeah, that's all sorted. But listen, you says everyone at work is looking for you. You need to come back and see Party Secretary Lee. Lieutenant Song has been killed. Bludgeoned to death with an iron bar in a side street.
Thank you for telling me. I'm on my way now.
While you were away, Lieutenant Song left no stone unturned. Burnett was closing. Someone struck in desperation.
Internal security must be crying out for revenge.
They've applied for a search warrant for Mr. Xie's mansion. They believe whatever Zhao is selling must be there, that Yang was killed because she saw it. Lieutenant Song, too.
They've already been over the mansion and searched Zhao's place. They've found nothing.
And they will stop at nothing to get to the truth for Mr. Xie and Zhao. By this stage, the warrants are just the cover they need to take revenge.
Zhao could end up like Shang. Another generation destroyed.
Unfortunately, your approach has not worked.
When will they get the warrant?
Tomorrow morning. It's too late, Chief Inspector Chen. We must leave it to them now.
I have one night. I meet up with old Hunter, still out on patrol.
I went to see Shang's old maid, Nanny Zhong. I took her a bag of lychees. She told me that Xie was an old friend of Tan's. He turned up at Zhao's orphanage, helped out financially. Nanny Zhong thinks that he's behind the change in Zhao's fortune. Calls him her gold-hearted man.
Xie can hardly pay his own way. But there is something between them, and we need to know what it is. There's no more time for soft. I'll go to the mansion now, talk to Xie. Then I'll have to call by the moon on the Bund. Gu has one more lead for me.
Then go to meet the maid at Zhao's apartment. She knows to let you in before she leaves for the night. She hasn't managed to find the Mao material so far, but maybe you'll have more luck.
I go to Xie's mansion one last time. Xie answers the door himself in a scarlet silk pajama robe. He looks like he's taken to his bed.
Mr. Chen.
Sorry to drop in like this, Mr. Xie. I've been away on business and I was worried about you.
I'm worried too. Cops have been in and out of my place like a market. It's terrible.
Let's go out into the garden and talk.
Garden? Oh, yes.
Officer Song was murdered and you're seen as the main suspect. You're an intelligent man, Mr. Xie. I'm trying to help you, but you have to tell me everything.
What do you mean, tell you everything?
To begin with, your relationship with Zhao's parents.
What?
You told Song that you didn't know Zhao before she visited here. That was a lie. A dangerous one, as Zhao provided your alibi, which was also a lie. That's perjury. An obstruction of justice. A felony.
Perjury? I don't know what you're talking about.
Song's colleagues are out for revenge. What they are capable of, you don't need me to tell you.
I'm an old man. Sick and tired of trying to keep up appearances. They may do whatever they want.
To you, maybe. But don't you care about Zhao?
Why would they harm her?
People are desperately searching for something. Until they get hold of it, they will stop at nothing.
What can it be? Whatever it is, let them have it. Nothing's worth having so many people dying for it.
It may not be in your possession.
I wonder how you know all this. And what can you possibly do to help?
I'm a police investigator.
Oh.
That's why I brought you outside. The house will be bugged. The others are internal security. I'm an ordinary cop. I want to solve this before they do it their way. You have to help me, Mr. Xie.
It's such a long time ago. In the 50s, my family and Qian's knew each other, but I couldn't mix with them because of the stories about Shang. At the beginning of the Cultural Revolution, our families were plundered. It was much worse for Qian's family. Shang was a target of mass criticism. I remember Qian standing on a stage with her mother, half of her hair shaven off. Red guards threw stones and eggs and curses at her. It was too much for Qian. She denounced Shang and moved into the school dorm.
I understand. My father was also designated black.
I still had the old house to fall back on. Qian had nothing. Shang died and Qian disappeared. When she came back, she was like a broken jar. Then she fell for my friend Tan. It was a crime to have sex without a marriage license, but what else could two doomed young people do? She was soon pregnant, and I was worried sick. One morning, Tan pushed an envelope into my hand saying it was something from Qian to keep it secret safe. A week later, they were caught as they tried to flee to Hong Kong. Tan committed suicide, leaving a note that shouldered all the responsibility. That's how Qian was acquitted.
And did you approach her after Tan's death?
Qian was under surveillance. I didn't want any trouble. Besides, I was disappointed with her. So soon after Tan's death, she took another lover, Peng. He was jailed as a degenerate hooligan, and Qian was dead.
And you kept the envelope?
For many years. My wife left me to go to the States, but otherwise things improved. People once again called me Mr. Shear. I was no longer treated like a skunk. My house was described as a symbol of the old Shanghai in the glittering 30s. Finally, I ventured out to look for Qian's daughter, Jiao, to fulfill the promise I made. I found her in the orphanage. Shang's old maid, Nanny Jung, introduced me as her father's friend. I gave her some money.
But not the envelope.
It wouldn't have been safe where she was living. I wanted to wait until it was safe. And then, suddenly, she quit her job and moved into a luxury apartment.
You had nothing to do with that? Well,
Nanny Jung thought I did, but how could I help? Look at this place. I can't even afford a gardener.
So you gave it to her when she came to visit?
Not at first. I was worried who might be behind the unexplained change in her life. But after a few months, I decided I had to. It's hers, after all.
Did you find out what it was?
Whatever secret it contained, it wasn't mine.
Has she told anyone else about the envelope?
She should know better, I think. There was a burglary at her place about a month ago. No one was caught.
That's because it was internal security, searching her apartment, finding nothing. Is there anything else you can tell me about her? Anything out of the ordinary? You're a painter. You must be observant.
For a young girl living in affluence, she's not happy. Her visits here are as if she has nowhere else to go. No one else. But then, one afternoon in the middle of a lesson, she took a call on a cell phone she has never used before or since and had to leave in a hurry. She said someone was waiting at home.
You think she has a big buck?
I've never seen or heard of one. I think she's a good girl. So young and beautiful. She thinks highly of you. You'll do whatever you can to help her, won't you?
I will try my best, but there is no time. The maid is waiting. I hurry to the Moon on the Bund, take an elevator up to the top floor to the glamorous bar, where Gu hosts his party.
Fancy meeting you here.
What a pleasant surprise, but I'm afraid I can't really stay.
The thugs who attacked you were professionals, not part of an organisation, so they're hard to track down. But a couple of days ago, I heard someone was looking for help again, with an emphasis on competence and reliability. Payment on delivery.
They were more reliable. They killed my colleague.
I follow the lead. Think it might have something to do with a real estate company wanting land in a premium location. Shear's mansion. Actually, the major shareholder is here now. Hua Feng.
Hua. Yes. I've met him at one of Shear's parties.
Be careful. He's connected with the Black Way. I don't know how, but you could look into it.
Thank you, Gu. It's a good lead, but I have no time at the moment.
Mr. Chen. So you're the writer Gu wanted me to meet. No wonder you were so interested in my Monopoly game. So many fashionable writers are moving around the city these days.
With so many new buildings replacing old buildings, writers can't help moving around.
You build houses with your words. We have to build them with concrete and steel.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hua. Gu, I really have to go. I have a meeting.
Good luck, Chen. Sorry I couldn't be more help.
Gu has helped. So has old Hunter. But all I've got so far on this Mao case are scenarios without substance. Nothing to prevent internal security from taking action tomorrow. I hurry on through Bund Park, towards Jiao's apartment. If internal security found nothing, and the maid found nothing, why should it be any different for me?
Chen Sao, where are you? I called your hotel, but you checked out.
Ling! I'm sorry, I had to rush back to Shanghai. It was too late to call.
Too late.
I'm at Bund Park, where we visited the last time you came to Shanghai.
I remember.
I appreciate your help, Ling, with my work in Beijing.
You can be exceptional in what you choose to do, Chief Inspector Chen. So be an exceptional policeman. It's like the poem you wrote about the urgency of making a choice. You have to choose your play, or time will not pardon.
I'm so sorry, Ling.
Keep in touch when you're not too busy. Take care, Chen Zhao.
I'll call you.
Sad, it's no longer sad. The heart hardened anew, not expecting pardon, but grateful and glad to have been with you. The sunlight lost on the garden. The last stanza of the poem she quoted. She is right. In the end, I have no choice except to redeem myself by being a cop. I keep going, running as fast as I can to Jiao's.
Old Hunter said you're allowed to look around.
How long have I got till Jiao gets back?
She left a note. Asked me to prepare dinner for two. They'll be back at 8.
Did she say who her guest was?
No, but she was very particular. I have to keep the rice warm, then leave as soon as she returns.
That only gives me 10 minutes. If she arrives while I'm searching, keep her talking as long as you can. Then go and get old Hunter. He's on patrol.
She's sometimes early.
I'd better get started. Thank you.
There is no point turning it upside down like a cop. Instead, I close my eyes. Try to empty my mind of all thoughts. Then I open my eyes, let my gaze sweep around the room effortlessly, as if still in meditation. And I see the scroll on the wall above the bed, an imperial concubine waiting at night, by the Tang Dynasty poet Li Bai. Lung told me about a scroll of Chinese poetry in Shang's room, but not by Li Bai, and why hang that poem here? It would make sense for a concubine like Shang, but not for a young girl like Zhao. The bed is a wooden board mattress, not unlike the one in Mao's old house in the Forbidden City. There is a black lacquered casket on the nightstand. Inside is a time-yellowed picture of Shang in a white robe. I close the lid, look up and see another picture on the wall, Chairman Mao. I shiver at seeing the two pictures so close. Jiao must be obsessed with them, the whole tragedy. It would make more sense for her to hate him, but it seems more like a fixation, a fantasy of Shang's sexual relationship with Mao. Is that what she lies here and imagines?
She's here! You have to...
Hide. There are two closets, large and small. Her clothes are in the large one. She may use it to get changed. I open the small one, crouch inside.
Sir, the rice is not quite warm. If you'd like to go for a walk through the park first.
No, thank you. You can go now.
Oh, very well. Enjoy your meal.
I hide in the closet, hold my breath, try to listen, look, but they are in the kitchen. I can't hear. I look around in the shadows and see her shoes on the floor, a broom, and a small scroll box. Inside is a valuation certificate. Authenticating a scroll, it says, is worth more than 2 million yuan. The scroll is one of Mao's poems in his brush calligraphy, Ode to the Plum Blossom, a dedication to Shang. Is this the Mao material that the Beijing government is so concerned about? It might lead to speculation, but no kind of disaster. I don't understand.
Why haven't you put up the scroll I bought you?
It was only yesterday. I haven't had time.
I wrote the poem for you years ago. Now I finally got it back.
This man got Jiao the scroll?
I paid a high price.
Who is he? I can't see. There's something about his voice I recognise, but not the accent. It's from Hunan, like Mao's.
You've got something on your mind. Talk to me.
I have overcome so much, sweeping away all my enemies like rolling up a mat. Let's forget our worries in the cloud and rain.
Whatever you say, Chairman.
Chairman? Because he is a big buck, or... Is she imitating Shang? Is he imitating Mao? Is that not his real accent? It's hot in the closet. I can hardly breathe. I need to get out. They mightn't even see me, lost in their rapture, their game.
Stands a pine, sturdy. Erect.
Come on, Chairman. You can do it.
What a fairy cave it is. Born out of nature. Ineffable. Ineffable.
A great pine. A broken one. Sapless. Lifeless.
So I have things on my mind after all. Keep going.
I can't. Not with you quoting him all the time. I'm sick and tired of it. You only want me because of who my grandmother was.
I have a lot on my mind.
I'm going to eat.
No, you're not. Get back here. Let me tell you what's on my mind. I saw your Mr. Chen at a cocktail party this afternoon.
So what? I told you, he has business connections. He's a nice man.
Why is he so nice to you? Why is she so nice to you?
There's nothing going on between us. I went there because you wanted me to paint, just like Shang. You're so jealous. I'll stop seeing him if you want.
I can take care of them. Chen got away from me last time, but he won't always be so lucky.
Why can't you just trust me? You bought me. Now let me go. The rice will be getting cold.
No, I will keep you. Get rid of anybody who gets in my way. Don't dream that anyone will help you get away from me. No one under the sun can do that. Not Chen, not Xie, not Yang.
Yang? Why are you talking about Yang?
That bitch tried to take you to other parties, other men.
So, you had her killed? How could you?
I'm Mao, the son of heaven, and you can be nobody else's.
You are a crazy monster, killing people like we.
You ungrateful bitch!
You bastard of Mao!
I got rid of Yang. I got rid of that other cop who came to my office sniffing around for information about you. I'll get rid of Chen too. All of them.
No, let go. What?
Mao! Call me Mao!
No!
Yes! You have to say yes to me. Say yes!
I don't need to see. I can hear him strangling her. I grab the broom, strike him. He fights back. Zhao lies there motionless. He gets the broom from me. Old Hunter sees Hua, who stops for a moment. I charge at him, barrel him into the wall. The portrait of Mao falls down on his skull. He slumps on the bed next to Zhao.
Backup's on its way.
Call an ambulance for Zhao.
It may be too late for her. But not for him. Who is he?
The killer. His name's Hua, but he thinks he's Mao.
He's not dead.
Mao's not dead. You can say that again.
I notice the broom head has come off. Inside is an envelope of photographs. This is the material, not the non-existent antiques, not the poetic scroll, nothing so romantic, I suspect. Shang had a dark room. She took photographs. Did she take them of herself and Mao in their most intimate moments, in the midst of the cloud and rain? That would be a scandal. This really is a Mao case, after all.
What is it, Chief?
Oh, nothing. The broom was broken. But I fixed it now. I'll put it back in the closet where it belongs. We don't need to mention me attacking him with it.
No problem, Chief. Now let's take a look at that cut. Still.
Hua must have learned about Zhao's family history when she was a receptionist at his company. He overwhelmed her with his big buck advances. Buying the apartment, cutting a little concubine deal. But he really didn't do it for her. He did it because of Shang. By sleeping with her, he turns himself into Mao.
But Hua's a big buck. He could have girls like Zhao and live like an emperor. Why all the bother, Chief?
Being Mao gave him meaning. The emperor archetype, son of heaven, with the divine mandate and power. Consciously, Zhao was nothing to him, but in his subconscious, she was everything. That's why he couldn't let her go. But he could kill her.
He's crazy.
Zhao provided the mechanism for him to switch into Mao. That's why they could never be seen together, why she quit her job. And they only met in secret.
She must have known he was crazy. Why would she play Shang for him?
What choice did she have? He must have insisted on it as a condition of the deal.
Beauty has a thin fate indeed. A curse to three generations.
I was too late. I should have saved her.
You did your job, Chief. You solved the Mao case.
We both did. Has the rock gone from your chest now, old hunter?
We can leave Mao in peace, in heaven or hell.
A nut who tries to imitate Mao. Well done, Comrade Chief Inspector. Internal security complaining about your methods. It's sour grapes, of course. You beat them again.
I acted in the best interests of the party, Comrade Party Secretary Li.
So did you find anything? The Mao material?
There's this scroll of a poem in Mao's writing, dedicated to Shang. Shall I turn it over to internal security?
No, I'll take that. It hardly matters much to the image of Mao. Is there anything else?
Not at this moment. I'm going to search thoroughly and will report on whatever I find.
Please do, Chief Inspector. You're an exceptional officer. Greater responsibilities will await you.
Hua will be put away as a nut. All will be hushed up. This is now a murder case, pure and simple. A conclusion acceptable to the party authorities. There is no need for them to worry about any Mao material. As far as they will know, if Zhao had any, she took its whereabouts to the grave with her. This is the end of the Shang saga. The end of the Mao case, which is no longer a Mao case. The broom, like everything else in this place, will eventually be thrown away. Someone might pick it up and find out its secrets. Or they might just use it as a broom until it is worn out and broken and it finally turns into dust.
In Inspector Chen, The Mao Case by Chu Xiaolong, dramatised by Joy Wilkinson. Inspector Chen was played by Jamie Zubairi. Party Secretary Li by Daniel York. Mr. Xie by David Yip. Zhao by Alice Hukin. Hua by John Bowler. And Old Hunter by David Hounslow. Peng was played by David Stern. Mr. Gu by John Dougal. Long by Paul Chan. Sung by Chaik Chan. Young by Kezia Joseph. Ling by Natasha Cowley. And The Maid by Katrina McFarlane. The director was David Hunter.